infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints to the will of God. Amen. Beyond our expectations. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. I don't know what your expectations are like, but I hope you have great expectations.
All right.
Amen. Because you serve a great God. Amen. You are not serving some reluctant deity. Amen. But you are serving somebody that loves you supremely. And somebody that can help you in an unlimited fashion. Somebody that can do exceeding and abundant and above all that you're able to ask or to think, according to the power that is already working within you tonight. That's the kind of God that you and I are serving. Amen. You know, sin is such a destructive force. When Adam and Eve sinned, it not only affected humanity, but it affected the entire creation. It affected everything. It affected the plant life, because the Bible said that God cursed the ground for man's sake. And thorns and thistles and briars and all of that began to spring up. Can you imagine a world where there were not any weeds? Can you imagine no thorns? Wouldn't that be something? You know what a thorn is? I mean, it's an aborted branch. It should have had a branch there, but because it was cursed, it didn't grow a branch, it grew a thorn. Amen. So it's been stunted in its productivity. And it's been stunted in its beauty. But one of these days, God's going to take away the curse. Amen. I don't believe in the first creation there were any deserts. And it doesn't, as I understand it, there were no oceans. Amen. There was much more landmass in the first creation. God created everything in absolute paradise and perfection. And everywhere was lush and green and fruitful and productive. Amen. But a curse came because of sin. And the entire planet groans. Amen. I sometimes wonder if earthquakes are not the earth groaning. Amen. I wonder sometimes if the tornadoes and the hurricanes are not the earth groaning. Saying, restore me to my glory. Renew me in my beauty. Return me to the fashion that I was created in. Amen. Certainly man has been affected. Amen. God did not create us to be what we have become. God did not create human beings to hate and to fight and to be bitter and to be unfaithful against one another and to grow to hate one another and be vicious against one another. God did not create us in that fashion. God did not create this human body for the things that people do with it sometimes. God did not create us to be what we have certainly become. God did not create us for sickness. God did not create us for death. He created you for glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. God created you for something so much better. God did not create animal life for what it has become. God did not create lions to consume lambs. That's all a part of the curse. God did not create creation to be at variance one with the other and consuming itself. Amen. But the Bible tells us that there is a deliverance that's coming. Hallelujah. Things are going to be righted once again. the wrongs are going to be made right. Praise God. Hey, we've got something to look forward to here. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I can tell you tonight, the reason I believe that is because I have experienced a little bit of it in my own life. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Hallelujah. Anybody experience newness here tonight? Anybody had a change that has happened in your life? Anybody had a transformation in your mind? Anybody had a change in your heart? Amen. Something has gone on. Something has transformed you tonight. Amen. We have a great expectation. The Bible talks about what's going to happen. It says that the sea is not going to be anymore. Hallelujah. And the desert is going to bloom like a rose. Hallelujah. Praise God. And God's going to make new heavens and a new earth. No more pollution. Praise God. You don't have to worry about nuclear explosions anymore. Nuclear reactors and meltdowns and all of that kind of stuff. Don't have to worry about that. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to worry about it now. I'm just not going to get real big on worry. Praise God. And there, I found out that there's plenty of people to take care of the worrying, so I'm just going to take care of the believing. Hallelujah. I'm going to go ahead and just try to be happy. There's plenty of people that are willing to walk around being sad. I think I'm just going to enjoy my life. Thank you very much. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, if I don't worry about it, who's going to? Well, have you changed anything by worrying? Have things really got better since you've been worrying about it? Well, every time I talk about it, it gets quiet. It bothers me a little bit. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so the Bible said we've got a great expectation that's coming. Hey, we're awaiting a great restoration of all things. Hallelujah. The Bible said that the lion's going to lay down with the lamb. Amen. They're not going to play together. Amen. And he's not going to be lunch for Leo. Amen. There's something good coming. Praise the Lord. A kid can play with a snake and not worry about being bit. Amen. He can pick it up and holler right in his ear if he's got one. Amen. Stick his little tongue out at him. The Bible said there's not going to be any viciousness left in nature. That's all going to dissipate. It's going to be taken away. And everything's going to live in harmony. And everything's going to be in peace. Amen. And your dog and your cat's going to get along. Amen. And your dog's going to get along. And husband and wives are going to get along. You talk about a miracle. Praise God. Heaven's coming. Restoration's coming. Everybody's going to get along. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know what I'm going to like about that? There's not going to be any envy. Because everybody's going to have a mansion, I guess. Amen. So what difference does it make? Praise the Lord. No payments. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. I can understand there's not going to be any vehicles. You're not going to need any cars, so you're driving a Volkswagen, somebody passes you in a Lincoln, you're not going to have any envy because there's not going to be any Volkswagens or Lincolns. The beautiful thing is, if I want to go see somebody and they live a few thousand miles away, I just say, I think I'll go to so-and-so's house and there I am. Amen. That's going to be the kind of travel we're going to be doing. Praise the Lord. I'm talking about great expectations tonight. Hallelujah. You know, I feel sorry for folks that don't believe in God. I feel sorry for people that don't believe in heaven. I feel sorry for people that think this is all there is. You got to get it while you're here because there's not going to be anything beyond this. I feel so sorry for you tonight because I have great expectation. Heaven is better than this. Amen. And it's real tonight. It's a genuine place. Amen. You could say tonight that Jesus was the prototype of what we're going to be. The Bible called him the firstborn of many brethren. The Scripture calls him the firstfruits. Amen. And if that's so, then how was he? First of all, he was sinless. And because he was sinless, then death and sickness had no hold on him. Praise the Lord. The devil had no hold on him. Yes, he could tempt him on the outside, but he couldn't get to him on the inside. He was sinless. The Bible said he was tempted in all points. But guess what? I have something better coming, because there's not even going to be any temptation in heaven. The Bible said he's going to tie up the tempter and he's going to throw him in a bottomless pit and he's going to be sealed there forever and forever. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so Jesus was sinless. Amen. Hallelujah. Death couldn't hold him. Hallelujah. He told them that. They should have believed him. Everything he said was true. But he said, you go ahead, you destroy this body. And he said, in 3 days, I'm going to raise it up. And they didn't believe him. Pray, even after he resurrected some other folks, they still didn't believe him. But you know what? They had a little fear. Because they said, now he said, he's going to come back in 3 days. So you make sure you put a guard right there by his tomb. You get some big old burly Roman soldiers to stand there and make sure he doesn't come out of there. You talk about easy duty, guarding a dead man. So they thought. Amen. Praise the Lord. But you know what happened on the third day? Amen. Praise God. He put a sleeper hold on those buddies. And they just fell out. Amen. And the Bible says that the stone rolled away. Amen. I don't know. He didn't have to roll away the stone. The stone wasn't going to keep him in there. He could have come through the stone. He could have blasted the stone. He could have done anything. But he rolled the stone away so people would know, hey, I have risen as I said. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know what? We've been telling folks there's a rapture. We've been telling folks we're going to get out of here. We've been telling folks we're going to go somewhere better. And it's not going to be very long that a trumpet is going to sound and the church is going to rise. Hallelujah. I have a great expectation. One of these days, I'm going to lift a foot up on terra firma and I'm going to plant it on a golden street. Hallelujah. My eyes are going to be full of pollution and the next thing it's going to be stardust. Hallelujah. And I will be in the presence of the Lord. I have great expectations. I have great expectations. I don't believe that's going to happen. That's why you don't get to go. Amen. Believe it and receive it. Doubt it and do without it. Amen. But I'd love for you to go along. Amen. I wish you'd join the believers. I wish you'd learn to live with expectation. Amen. Not like the fellow that said, somebody said, cheer up. Things could get worse. He said, I cheered up and they got worse. I'd hate to live like that. I'm going to live in expectation. Praise the Lord. I'm going to live believing, amen, that in a moment the trumpet could sound. Hallelujah. And in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. This mortal shall put on immortality. This corruptible shall put on incorruption. And so shall we be with the Lord. Amen. You know why I believe that? Because that's what happened to Jesus. Amen. Man, I'm telling you what. They nailed him to a cross. They stretched him between heaven and earth. Amen. They beat him so severely. They pierced him with a sword. They did everything they could do. And finally, he said, "It is finished." Hallelujah. What are you talking about? Everything I can do to redeem humanity has been done. There's no other price to pay. There's no other blood to shed. There's no other sacrifice acceptable. It's finished. I have done what I came here to do. I have paid a ransom for the souls of many. Hallelujah. I have become the firstborn of many brethren. I have become the firstfruits of the resurrection. Amen. They tried to seal him in a tomb. He came out of the tomb. Praise God. And then he had you talk about a fascinating body that Jesus had after the resurrection. Now before the resurrection, he could only be in one place at one time. Amen. And he had to go through doors like normal people. But after the resurrection, when he was glorified, the Bible says they were in a room and the doors were locked and the windows were locked because they were afraid. And suddenly he just appeared to them. Amen. Don't need a door. Don't need a window. A wall will do. Amen. Just walks right in. And there he is. Now, he was visible. They could see him. They knew who he was. Scared the daylights out of them. But they knew who he was. And then he said, "Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bone." Hey, one of these days, when I get to heaven, you're going to be able to recognize me. But fat won't matter over there. Amen. I'm not so sure we're all going to lose weight, but it's not going to matter. Amen. Hollywood won't exist anymore. Amen. We don't have to compete with the skinny minis. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible said that the fat is the Lord's anyhow, so he must love some of us more than he does others. Praise God. Great expectations. Amen. But his body, it was a tangible body. They could feel his body, but it didn't have any blood in it. He didn't say flesh and blood. He said flesh and bone. Now, if you didn't have any bones, you'd just be a blob. Because a bone's what gives you structure. Amen. And so he had flesh and he had bone, but no blood, because his body was no longer propelled by blood and the life and the blood, but it's a spirit-propelled body. Hallelujah. And so the spirit can just go where it wants to go. Hallelujah. It's not like blood. You know, blood stays in the body. It's just kind of contained, hopefully. You spring a leak, you're in trouble. Get it fixed, quick. Amen, because the life is in the blood. Amen. But I'm telling you, we have some great expectations tonight. Whoo, hallelujah. Amen. And you know what? The older I get, the more expectant I get. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. When I was young, it didn't really matter so much. Praise God, I thought about, you know, stuff like getting married and having a family and getting a job and graduating and all that stuff, and I've done all that. It's great, amen. It's good. It's those are wonderful things, amen. But I'm waiting for the next big change in my life, and oh, what a change that's going to be! Hallelujah! Great expectation. So Jesus was glorified. That's the kind of body we're going to have. But God exceeds expectations. There were some sisters, and they knew Jesus really well. I mean, they were just great friends. And every time Jesus came to Bethany, he stayed at their house. And so, one day their brother got sick. And they sent a message to Jesus, say, "He whom thou lovest is sick." And they knew that Jesus would just come quickly and Lazarus would be okay. It's interesting to me that in John 11, it talks about that message. And then it says that Jesus loved Martha and Mary. But even though he loved them, he did not honor their request right away. Now let me say this to you today. The Lord loves you, but you cannot manipulate him. Manipulative love is not really love at all. If you try to use love to manipulate somebody, you don't love them. Love is not manipulative. Amen. Jesus loved them, but he was not manipulated by them. Now they did get a little perturbed with him. They did get a little angry with him. Yes, they did. Because when Jesus got there, the first thing Martha said was, "If you would have been here, my brother would not have died." Now, she might have been a little sweeter than that. I don't know. And Mary, she was so mad, she didn't even leave the house. They had to call her and say, "Jesus is here and he'd like to talk to you." You know what the first thing she said when she saw him was? "If you would have been here, my brother would not have died." Same thing. Both of them. They were upset. Well, I've heard people say this. They say, don't ever ask God why. Why not? Don't ever question God. Why not? You think he's not big enough to handle it? You think your little piddly doubts and concerns are too big for God to handle? Let me tell you something. You may not say it out loud, but it's going to be in your head. You're going to have some big questions. And you're going to handle some big doubts. Praise God. And God's big enough to take it. Yes, he is. He's big enough to take it. As a matter of fact, in the book of Psalms, he said this. The Lord said, "Try me." And also in the book of Malachi, he said, "Try me." And you might as well, because he said, "I'm going to try you." He did. I know that's a really weird idea. Amen. But it's true. God said he's going to try us. And told us to try him. Amen. Praise God. Now, let me tell you something. I believe that you if you love God, you're going to be respectful. There are some people that say they love God when really they're just trying to use God. They're trying to manipulate God to get what they want, and they call that faith. Uh-uh. You don't dictate to God. You don't tell God. Amen. You just believe God. Amen. And you're like Martha and Mary. You say, "Jesus, my brother's sick," and leave it up to him. Now, Jesus understood something. As a matter of fact, he just, whenever he heard about that, he said, "He's doing good." He said, "Well, let's give him a couple more days. Let him get good and right." Amen. Now, by the time Jesus got there, Lazarus died. They had a funeral, and he was buried. And as far as they were concerned, it was all too late. Jesus said, "Oh, no. He said, "Where have you laid him?" "Hey, man, just take me on down there." And then he told him, I love this, what he told him. He said, "Didn't I tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" Everybody say, "Believe and see." Now, what do we say? "See. Believe. If you'll show me, I'll believe it. If I can see it, I'll believe it." But Jesus said, "You believe it, and then you'll see it." So he said, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. Now, I got a feeling that when they went down, to the tomb where Lazarus was, there was only one that really had any expectation. And that was Jesus. I don't know, but I really don't think Peter and James and John even had much expectation. I don't think Mary and Martha had much expectation. But when he said, roll the stone away, she said, wait. He's real smelly. He stinks. But the stink didn't stop him. And it still don't. There's a bunch of stinkers here tonight. Amen. But it's not going to stop him. Amen. You let him in. You roll away the stone. You expose the problem. You expose the sin. You expose the need. You let God at it. You remove the obstacle. Amen. And he'll exceed your expectation. Amen. He said, you just roll the stone away. You put it there. You take it away. And they did. And I believe what they said is true. I believe death took a deep old breath and blew the stench across the crowd. Amen. And sure enough, he was dead. And all that did, it increased the doubt of the crowd, but the faith of Jesus Christ. Here's what the scripture said. It said, then Jesus lifted up his eyes. Sometimes you got to look up. Amen. You got to find some faith. You can't find it out here because everybody's doubting. You can't find it back there because everybody's doubting. It's not over here and it's not over there. So you just lift up your eyes. Hallelujah. Amen. He lifted up his eyes. He looked beyond the doubt. He looked beyond the door of death. He looked right into the face of God. He lifted up his voice and he said, Lazarus, come forth. And he didn't whisper it either. You know, somebody said, well, what if it don't happen? Lazarus. Hey, Lazarus. Can you hear me, man? That's the way some of us would do it. You know, that way if it don't work, we don't lose faith. But he didn't do that. Because he knew it was going to happen. Amen. So he may have even, I don't know. Maybe he saw it. He said, hey, Lazarus, you get down here. And he did. Hallelujah. In a minute, everybody was amazed. Because this cloth wrapped kind of a human looking thing hopped out of there. And there he stood. Amen. Jesus said, loose him. Let him go. Somebody ran over. I think they're believing by now. They can't wait to get that cloth off and see if that's really Lazarus back there. Somebody rips the napkin off of his face. And boy, there he is. Woo! Hallelujah. Hello. Praise the Lord. Greetings from glory land. Amen. And they start unwrapping him. Hey, get his arms up. Hallelujah. He starts a clapping. Amen. And a waving. They get his feet undone. And I got a feeling they went to dancing. And he probably wasn't the only one. Hallelujah. Amen. He exceeded their expectation. Jesus, I know you're a healer. He said, I'm a whole lot more than that. That's kindergarten stuff. Amen. I'm getting ready to leave this old world. Let me give you a little graduation present before I go. Hallelujah. He said, I am. Not I'm going to be. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. And he is. Praise the Lord. He'll exceed your expectations. Now, do you reckon that stirred stuff up? You talk about stirring things up. The Bible said, and many believed on Jesus because of Lazarus. Probably the Jerusalem Journal came over and tried to get an article. Amen. and JBC or whatever came over to film what was going on. Amen. And the radio station, they didn't have any of that stuff back then. But if they had, they would have been on it. Amen. Everybody was talking about it. Now, do you suppose everybody was excited about Lazarus being and happy about Lazarus being resurrected? No. You can't make some people happy. Even a miracle and a resurrection won't make some people happy. The Bible says a whole lot of them followed Jesus, but some of them ran and told the Pharisees and said, "You know what that rascal's up to? Now he's raising the dead." They said, "We can't have that." Hey, how are you going to stop him? What are you going to do about it? Kill him? Well, they'll just resurrect him again. And that'll be a greater miracle. So they said, "Oh, we got to kill this man." The Bible said that the devil came to do what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's all he knows how to do. He never had an original thought. And he hadn't changed. As soon as he heard about this, he said, "Kill him, kill him, kill him. Destroy him. Do away with him." Boy, did they ever play right into his hands. He said, "That's exactly what you're going to do." But on the third day, amen, "You ain't going to ever want to kill me again. You're going to see me, but you're not going to be able to do anything about it." Praise the Lord. They destroyed that body. 3 days he resurrected beyond their expectations. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm telling you what. And so Jesus met with his disciples. He walked with them. And then he told them, he said, "I want you to go to an upper room and tarry there until you be endued with power from on high." So they went there. I think they were expecting something, but they didn't really know what to expect. So they were there, and while they were there, they were praying and praying and praying and praying, and they drew some straws to figure out who was going to be the missing apostle to take Judas' place, and they were occupying the time, and amen, and just praying and waiting, and some left, I believe. When Jesus told them to go, there was about 500 people. But by the time the Holy Ghost came, it was down to 120. Amen. I got a feeling some of them just said, "Well, I don't think it's going to happen." Amen. We must have misunderstood. Perhaps this is all there really is. No. He's going to blow you away. He's going to exceed your expectations. Amen. And the Bible said, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, now, there'd been a whole lot of Pentecost. There had been over 1,000 Pentecosts. This was not a new thing. They had Pentecost every year. Every year they went to Jerusalem. Every year they had their ritual. Every year they had their feast. Every year they baked their bread. Every year. Amen. But this was different. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, this is what it's really all about. All that other stuff's just been symbols. All that other stuff is types and shadows. But this is what it's really about. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were in one place in one accord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house wherein they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. They were all filled. Praise God. They were all filled. Hallelujah. Amen. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. And they just all sit around and patty cake for Jesus. Said, "Isn't this wonderful? This is so nice." Brother Peter, welcome to the fold, sir. We're so glad you're here. Now you can go to heaven. No, I don't believe it was like that. The Bible said it was noised abroad because they were noisy. We've always been criticized for being noisy. I don't know about you, but I like noise. Amen. Praise God. When I get around people real quiet, I wonder who's sick or died. Yeah, and that bothers me. I like it to be noisy. My house, I grew up in a house that were there were seven kids, mom and dad, and we were noisy. Amen. We had family gatherings, and it was noisy. Amen. And you think that's something, you ought to go to my wife's house. There were 12 of them. Amen. It's unbelievable. It's interesting because they all get to talking. Amen. And if you go to the Hart's house, that's really exciting because everybody's like this. Hey, brother. It's exciting. Amen. Praise God. So you know, it gets real quiet. But it wasn't quiet at Pentecost. And we hadn't learned to tone down much since then. Amen. Praise God. And so they were excited and they were talking in tongues and the Bible said it got all noisy and they spilled out in the street. And they're still talking in tongues. And all these people from all these different countries, they began to hear them speaking in their own languages. And they were amazed. They said, These are Galileans. These are Hicks. From the sticks. These are not educated folk. These are not Jerusalemites. They don't know all this stuff. These are just uneducated people. How can they do this? Still trying to figure it out. Amen. And the Bible, I love it, says, and they were all amazed and marveled. Amen. And some of them started laughing. Said, I know what it is. They're just drunk. And Peter did not deny it. He said, we are, but not as you suppose. We've been drinking down at Joel's place. Amen. Amen. Joel chapter 2 and verse 28. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see vision, and your old men shall be dream dreams. Amen. You see, they were under the influence, but it was not an alcoholic influence. It was a spiritual influence. And if you hadn't been drunk on the Holy Ghost, you just hadn't lived. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Maxwell, when he was praying for the Holy Ghost, I didn't think he was ever going to get the Holy Ghost because he kept getting so drunk, he couldn't get the Holy Ghost. Amen. He'd get under the influence of the Holy Ghost. He would stagger all over the church. He would stumble and fall down, do everything but talk in tongues. Till finally he did. Amen. I'm telling you, God exceeded all expectations. And Peter grew a backbone. The Holy Ghost will take the chicken out of you. Amen. You remember that same Peter that, you know, a little girl accused him of being with Jesus and he ran. He said, no, not me. I wasn't with it. A little girl. And now he stands just 40 days after, just 50 days after the crucifixion, and there he stands up. And the very people that crucified Jesus Christ, he grew a backbone. And man, he went to preaching. And when he got to the end of his sermon, conviction fell. He said, and you, With your hands, you have taken him and crucified him. And God hath made him both Lord and Christ. And they got scared. They said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And he said, sign this card. Shake my hand. Kiss this ring. He didn't say any of that. He didn't even say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. What did he say? That was a sincere question. As a matter of fact, that's the first time anybody had ever asked how to be saved. The first time in the Bible anybody had ever asked how to be saved. And here's what Peter said. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and your children and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And there were added unto them that day about 3,000 souls. Woo! Hallelujah! My, what a revival! But you know what? Now I have been in a place where more than 3,000 people received the Holy Ghost in one service. Praise God. Amen. And there are places where more than 100,000 people received the Holy Ghost in one service. So God is still exceeding His promises. We live for the day when we'd see just 3,000 people get the Holy Ghost. But we have seen far more than that now. And you know what? Only God knows how many receive the Holy Ghost today. In churches all over the world, they're having services or had services. Some of them have already turned the lights and almost getting ready to get up and go to work. Amen. But you know what? I believe that just in this one day, only God knows how many tens of thousands of people were added to the church just this day. And you talk about exceeding our expectations. Amen. Praise God. What do you believe tonight for this church? What do you see for Athens United Pentecostal Church? Do you think God can exceed your expectations? Sister Elaine, you've been asking God for 500 for a long time. Do you believe God can exceed that? You know where I think a good starting... How many believe in tithing? You don't have to raise your hand. Don't want to leave anybody out or embarrass anybody. Amen. Praise God. But I believe in tithing. Wouldn't it be good just to ask God for just a tithe? He asked me for a tithe, and I gladly give it. So if God asked me and I gladly give Him a tithe, don't you suppose He would be glad to give us a tithe? Amen. God, we'd just like to have a tithe of the population of Henderson County. Let's don't stop with Athens. Amen. That's what, about 8,000? Amen. If we could just get a tithe, we'd have 8,000 folks. That'd be a good start. Amen. Praise God. I'm talking about your expectations tonight. If you don't expect anything, you're sure going to get it. Amen. And if you do expect something, you'll give God something to aim at. He'll exceed your expectations. He'll do more than you thought He would do. Praise God. Well, it was a newborn church. They had prayer meeting. Amen. We have prayer meeting Tuesday night. Peter and John were on their way to prayer meeting. And as they were getting ready to enter into the city, there was a place called the Beautiful Gate. And I'm almost through. Amen. Your watch is not broke. I'm winding down here. At least I didn't give mine away. If you're going by my watch, you're really in trouble because I don't have one. Amen. And so Peter and John, they're on the way to prayer meeting. And they're getting ready to go past the beautiful gate. And there's this really smart lame man there. The reason he's smart is because a lot of tourists went to the beautiful gate. And he's got his little can. And he's sitting there, or laying there, I suppose. And he's got his can out. And he said, Alms? Amen. Can you spare a buck, bud? Amen. I was in San Francisco, and the guy had a big sign, and he said, I'm not going to lie, it's for beer. Well, that's San Francisco. Well, guess what? I didn't give him any. Amen. I'm not going to feed his habit. If it was for McDonald's, I would have helped him. Amen. But the guy's got his can, and he's saying, alms. Praise God. Now, Peter and John stopped and said something many of us could not say. They said, silver and gold have I none. It's quiet, huh? That wasn't what you thought I was going to say, was it? Don't you complain, even if you got just a little bit. Because they said, we don't have any. Amen. But they said, but what we do have, we're going to give it to you. And Peter reached down and grabbed him by the hand. And he said, look on us. Look up, bud. Amen. And he looked up. Praise God. You know what we ought to be doing? We ought to be telling the world, look on us. Amen. You got a godly example. You're living a Christian life. You ought to want people to look on you. Amen. Praise God. You don't have anything to be ashamed of. You don't have anything to hang your head about. Amen. Look on us. See my joy. See my smile. Can you see the peace? Praise God. Amen. Can you see the righteousness? Isn't that good? Look on us. Amen. You could have this kind of life. You could have peace. Amen. You could have long hair. Amen. You could wear a tie. No, you don't have to do that to go to heaven. Praise God. But he said, look on us. And the guy looked up, grabbed him by the hand. Amen. Big old strong fisherman. I'm glad he wasn't some little old sissy. Amen. Praise God. But he got him. Man, I'm telling you, jerked him up on his feet. And he said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up. He didn't have any choice. He was coming up. He said, and walk. Amen. And I'm telling you, man, when his feet hit the ground, the Bible said he went leaping and praising God into the temple. I skipped the part where it said he looked up, the Bible said, expecting to receive something. But he sure got more than he expected. He was expecting maybe an Abe Lincoln. Amen. Or George Washington. Amen. But he got a whole lot more than that. Pray. He got holy. He got a healing. And the Bible said he went, can you imagine that? People that had passed him just a few minutes ago, Brother Marshall, this was the real deal. Brother Marshall was telling me about a guy in Egypt that was begging, and he's all crippled up, and people were giving him money. They gave him money. And then when the bus started pulling off, he jumped up and started running off. But this was not a setup. Amen. When this guy went leaping and praising God into the temple, it was the real deal. He'd been healed. Praise God. Let's stand together. Thank you so much for your time. God will exceed your expectations. I've never known anybody that received the Holy Ghost that was disappointed? Maybe you have, but I never have. Not one time. They asked one new convert, they said, "How do you feel, brother?" He smiled real big and he said, "Woo! Hot dog!" He hadn't got his Pentecostal vernacular yet. It's the best he knew how. Amen. And that was okay. I think the Lord chuckled and the angels grinned. Amen. Because somebody new, born again. Amen. God will exceed your expectations. Amen. Would you give him a chance today? Whatever you have that you can't handle, amen, why don't you bring it to God? If you've got issues and problems and things in your life, just bring it to Jesus. Just bring it to Jesus tonight. Just bring it to the Lord. Amen. And if you'll give it to Him, I'm going to tell you one thing. He will exceed your expectations. He'll give you more than you thought you would ever have. Praise God. The little lady with the issue of blood came for healing, and she left not only with healing, but with peace. Amen. Great peace. Praise the Lord. Amen. Why don't you bring something to the Lord tonight and give it to Him? Amen. Something that's bothering you. Maybe something that it's too big and too hot for you to handle. Just bring it to the Lord tonight and give it to Him. Jesus, it's too big for me. I've done all I know how to do. I can't do it anymore. I need your help now. I've exceeded my abilities. I can't do anything. Are you hearing me tonight? Amen. He can exceed it. You remember what I'm telling you tonight. Amen. Whatever you face, whatever problem you have, give it to Jesus and He will exceed your expectations.
What's wrong and make it right.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. You're going to do a wonderful job with this old world. Praise God. You're going to do a wonderful job with this old world when you restore everything and put it right again. You're going to exceed our expectations. And when the sons of God come in, heaven's going to take notice. And all the earth will be glad and rejoice. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.